was burdened down so low, didn't know which way to go. When I heard the blessed Savior call to me, he said, repent of all your sin, turn around from where you've been, and call upon my name in prayer. I didn't know what to say, I didn't know how to pray, so I just fell down on my knees and called his name. He said, I hung upon a cross so your soul would not be lost. On the cross he said it all for me. Child, your debt was paid on Calvary. The blood I shed for you. Believe on me, that's all you do. And call upon my name in prayer. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to pray. So I just fell down on my knees and called his name. He said, I hung upon a cross so your soul would not be lost. On the cross he said it all for me. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to pray. So I just fell down on my knees and called his name. He said, I hung upon a cross so your soul would not be lost. On the cross he said it all for me. On the cross he said it all for me.
Appreciate that all week long. Again, it was good to have the Grahams with us. They were pretty excited when they left, and so I think we maybe managed to bless each other, which is always good. I've preached a few meetings where you're thinking, praise the Lord, it's over, amen. And so it's kind of good when you leave some place and go, that was good. That was encouragement to me as well as them, and so we appreciate them coming with us. Appreciate everybody who was so faithful all week long, and again, I know you don't do it for me, but it's an encouragement to me. It's really an encouragement to me when I brag about how faithful everybody is, and then everybody actually shows up. That's kind of a good thing. It's disappointing when you brag to the guest speaker, oh, our folks are faithful, you know, and then half the crowd's gone one night. So I appreciate everybody coming out, and again, I know you don't do it for me, but we need to be here anyway for the preaching of God's Word and to come out for that. It's just encouraging one another, isn't it? It's always encouraging when you have more people versus less people. And it just makes the preacher preach better. It makes the spirit of the service better. And so I appreciate everybody who came out for that. And again, just a good, encouraging week, I thought. Genesis 18, as you know, we have been preaching a little bit toward the family, kind of preaching some family-oriented messages on Sunday night. I thought we would carry our revival thought over into the family and kind of tie it all up together. And for the next few weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about what we're just going to call family revival. You know, the word revival, or when we think of revival, it has to do with a refreshing or re-energizing or refocusing. And I think we could say there are times in our family when we need a re-energizing, you know, refocusing, that type of thing. And so we're going to kind of tie revival with our messages together on the family and talk a little bit over the next few weeks about some elements of family revival, some things we might need to have revival in our home, or refreshing or re-energizing, refocusing. And so to do that, we're going to read in Genesis chapter 18 and look a little bit at Abraham tonight. In Genesis 18, we won't read the whole chapter. We'll just jump down for the sake of time to verse 16. Genesis 18 and verse 16. And it said, the men arose from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. In verse 17, it says, then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. I'm going to use this verse tonight to focus on this thought for a little bit this evening, and that is the need for a courageous leadership. The need for courageous, it will be a long night if I can't say courageous, the need for courageous leadership in our home, and especially the need of courageous leadership as it applies to family revival. If we're going to have revival in our homes, we're going to need some courageous leadership. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and pray that I can say the word courageous a few more times this evening. Just and seriously ask God's help on the services this evening. Brother Tim Caudill, why don't you lead us in prayer? Amen. Thank you for standing. The need for courageous leadership. It must have worked. There it went. I got it out. In Genesis chapter 18, if we were to go back and read the entire chapter, we would find that Abraham was hanging out near the door of his tent. And as he was hanging out there, the Bible tells us they were suddenly approached by three strangers. And it's obvious from verse 2, if you just glance as I'm talking, if you'll notice in verse 2, it's obvious that whoever these people were, God, or Abraham knew that there was something unique about them. And verse 2, he comes and runs and falls down before them on the ground. And we know what was unique about them. Two of them were angels in some form. And it becomes obvious in verse 13 that one of them was the Lord. Because it says in verse 13 that the Lord spoke unto Abraham. This is what we sometimes call a Christophany, an appearance of Jesus Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance of him in the Old Testament. And so he appears here and speaks unto Abraham. And wouldn't that have been something if that had happened to you? That would certainly be something to talk about over the dinner table, amen, when that took place. And so this unique meeting. And during this meeting, God reaffirms to Abraham the promise that Sarah would bear a son, and that the time of that birth was quickly approaching. And so he tells them about that. And then after Abraham feeds them a meal, the Bible says that they rose up in verse 16 and they headed on towards Sodom and Gomorrah in order to complete the second part of their mission, which was to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, which we famously, of course, know about. Now, in keeping of the customs of that day, and probably not to mention the fact that one of them was the Lord, the Bible says that Abraham accompanied these men on their journey at least part of the way. Didn't go all the way, but accompanied them part of the way on their trip. And it was in this short walk. How would you like to walk along with this crowd? Amen. On the way to Sodom and Gomorrah, the destination wouldn't have been so great, but the company would have been amazing. And so as they were walking along, it was during that time that the conversation that we read about in verse 16 through 19 and on takes place during that short time. And as a part of that, God gives a pretty amazing testimony about Abraham's leadership in his home, as well as the promises that accompanied it. Because there's some pretty encouraging promises here in verse 18. And of course, at the end of verse 19 as well, he says that this will enable the Lord to give to Abraham the promises that he had made. And I think from that, from this conversation and the things that is said of Abraham in verses 16 through 19, that we can get some principles of what we're going to refer to as courageous leadership that might aid us in revival in our home. Does that make sense so far? If we're going to have revival, we need some men, we need some fathers, husbands, men, leaders who understand courageous leadership in their home. And Abraham, I think, is an example of that. And I'll say this several times tonight. He was far from a perfect man. But there is no denying the fact that God gives some amazing testimony concerning his leadership in his home in verses 16 through 19 of chapter 18. So we're going to look at some principles out of this concerning courageous leadership. Are you all ready to go? Because we're going to just jump right into it. First of all, number one, first thing I want you to notice is this. That if we're going to have revival in our home, a refreshing, a re-energizing, a refocusing, then we need leadership. We need men and husbands and fathers to whom God is willing to reveal what he is doing. We need some men, fathers, husbands, leaders to whom God is willing, who live a life spiritually, so that God is willing to reveal unto them what he is doing. Let me word it another way. We need leaders, men, husbands, and fathers who are willing to be the kind of man spiritually to whom God is willing to reveal his working inside that man's own family. Come on, say amen to that. Abraham, as I said a moment ago, was by no means a perfect man. He certainly wasn't a perfect husband. He wasn't a perfect father. He wasn't a perfect leader or a perfect man by any stretch. But despite his imperfections, he was a man who greatly feared God in his life. We've got to give him that. He feared the Lord. And probably more than anything else, above and beyond fear, he was known in the Bible as a man who believed God. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, Paul uses him as an example of faith and connection to salvation when it says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So he was a man who was known for his great fear of God and a man who was known for his great belief, his great confidence, his great faith in the promises of God and the word of God and the direction of God. In Genesis chapter 12, as a result of the fear of God that he possessed and as a result of his obedience to God, I remind you tonight that he struck out going someplace that he had no clue where he was going. The Bible says God simply called him out of Ur of the Chaldees with no promise of where he was going, with no promise of what it would be like. He just simply stepped out by faith on the promises of God and obeyed God. Now that's belief. He feared God enough to act in faith and believe. Not only did he step out in Exodus or Genesis chapter 12, but I also remind you probably one of the greatest examples of his fear of God and his belief of God is in Genesis 22 when he walked up Mount Moriah and willingly was ready to offer his own son simply because God had asked him to. And Hebrews tells us he did that in faith, believing that even if God took him, he would raise him from the dead. Now, that's faith and that's belief. And so he was a man who feared God and believed God. In Abraham's walk with God, this fear and this great belief, his spiritual life as a man, as a husband, as a father was such that God says in our text tonight in verse 17, he says of Abraham, "How can I keep from such a man what I am about to do?" Now I remind you that this is going to have to do with Lot, over which Abraham also had some authority and responsibility. And all this was connected to Abraham and his family. And God says of Abraham, "How can I keep from him? How can I not reveal to him what I'm going to do, what I'm about to do, involving those who are near and dear unto him, involving those whom he loves, involving those over whom he has a stewardship, over whom he has responsibility?" And Abraham was such a man of belief and such a man of faith that God says, "How can I keep from him what I'm about to do?" And God reveals to him later on exactly what's about to happen and exactly what's about to take place. Now, he had to make some courageous decisions to be in that spot with God that God was willing to reveal his workings inside his own family. I would submit to you tonight that walking out of Ur of Chaldees was a courageous decision. I would submit to you tonight that going up that mountain in Genesis chapter 22 was a courageous decision. A decision courageous in the sense that it simply stepped out by faith and trusted God. And as a result of that, God comes along now and says, "How can I keep from such a man my workings, what I'm going to do?" Now listen tonight, if we're going to have revival in our home, a refreshing, if we're going to have a re-energizing, a refocusing, then we need some courageous men. We need some courageous husbands and fathers and leaders whose spiritual life is such that God is willing to reveal his working in their own homes, inside their own family, and reveal to them his working in the lives of their own wives and children and homes. If we're going to have revival in our homes and in our families. We know that God doesn't, now tonight, we know that God doesn't always reveal everything that he's doing. Matter of fact, we know that God probably never reveals all that he's doing in our lives or in our families' lives. But I do know this much, based on our text and other passages, God is willing to reveal to a godly man who believes God and fears God that he's working in various ways in the life of his wife, in their marriage, in their home, and in their children's lives. And we need a man who has the courage to fear God and to believe God and to obey him to be the kind of man that God is willing to give discernment to about what's going on inside the walls of his own house. And more importantly, what's going on inside the hearts of his own children and what's going on inside the mind of his own wife and inside the context of his own marriage. Because there are things going on that you and I can't see with the naked eye. We've got to have the discernment of God and the knowledge of God and the instruction of God to understand it all. I don't understand what's going on with me half the time, let alone what's going on with all of them. And we need the discernment to understand it. We need God to come along, fellas, and tell us, here's what's going on with your wife. Here's what's going on with your children. Here's what I'm doing in their lives. Here's what I'm trying to do in your family. Here's what I'm trying to do in those children over whom you have a stewardship. And we need to be the kind of men who believe God and fear God so that God comes along and says, that's the kind of man I'm willing to reveal to what's going on in his own family. And God comes along and tells Abraham what he's about to do. If we want revival in our homes, we need men of God to lead them. And we need men who have the courage to fear God and obey God regardless of the cost, regardless of what's going on in their own circumstances, so that they might know what's going on in the side of the walls of their own home. Listen, like, what's in the heart of those who we lead? What's in their heart tonight? No, let's make it personal. Men, what's in the heart of those over whom God has given you a stewardship? What's God doing in their life? What's in the heart of your children tonight? What's in their heart? What's in the heart of your wife? What's going on in your home? What's God doing? What's God trying to do? I'm not talking like what's God doing in the heart of your children. What's God doing in the heart of that one? And that one? And that one? Because it's not the same. What's God doing in the heart of your wife? What's God doing inside the walls of your own house? You say, well, how can I know that? Exactly. We've got to walk with God in such a way that as I'm praying and I'm seeking God and I'm listening to preaching and I'm reading the Word of God, God can come along in that soft and gentle voice and say, here's what I'm doing in the heart of your son. Here's what I'm doing in the heart of your daughter. Here's what I'm seeking to do in your home. You need to pay attention to this. You need to watch out for that. They're straying away there. You need to be careful of this. And God can tell us those things. You can't tell what's going on in the heart of someone always by the outside, can you? Especially with children, because we know they conform. And I need God to tell me what's going on. And to do that, I need to have the courage to live the kind of life that says, you know what, we're just going to believe God. We're just going to obey God. We're just going to be faithful to His Word, faithful to the house of God. We're just going to be obedient to the Scriptures and put myself as a man in the place where God can reveal to me, where He has my ear, where He can reveal to me what's going on inside the walls of my own house. Amen. We need that kind of leadership. Would you agree with me? Amen. We need to be those kind of men if we're going to understand what's going on. God is willing to reveal to us as leaders what's going on in our own house. We've just got to be in the place where we can hear Him. Come on, say amen. Amen. Secondly, not only do we need that, but secondly, if we're going to have revival in our houses and in our homes, if we're going to see a refreshing and encouraging, we need some men, husbands, fathers, and leaders who have the courage to be the kind of man to whom God is not only willing to reveal His workings, but God is eager to reveal His workings. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I want you to notice in our text tonight, there's some people who think that verse 17 of chapter 18 belongs over in chapter 19. Well, that's wrong, because nothing in the text indicates that. And we know by way of preservation that if verse 17 belonged to chapter 19, that's where it'd be. And so we know that none of that's true. What we do see is this, that after these three men had eaten, the Bible says they arose and they headed for Sodom and Gomorrah without revealing their intentions. They didn't tell Abraham what they were going to do or where they were going to go. The Bible says so that as they're walking along, I want you to notice in the text, there's nowhere in the text where Abraham turns to any of them and says, what's going on? Where are we going? I think that Abraham was the kind of man that had he asked God, God would have revealed it to him. But God reveals it to him without him ever asking. I find it interesting anyway. They're just walking along. And all of a sudden, the Lord, one of the three says, looks at the other two. I don't know, looks at Abraham. Maybe just rhetorical, I don't know. But he says this. He says, should I keep from Abraham that which I'm about to do that's going to affect his family and his life? Should I keep that from him? And then he tells Abraham what he's about to do. Now, I can't prove it tonight, but I think it's by no means a stretch to say this, that one of the reasons God was not only willing to reveal His working, but was eager to reveal His working, is the fact that three times in the Word of God, Abraham is called the friend of God. Now, isn't it true tonight that we always want to tell our friends about what's going on. We want our friends to know what's going on in our life, which is why we post even the most mundane, boring, ridiculous things on Facebook, because we want our friends to know what's going on. Hey, look at what I did today. We want our friends to know what's going on in our life. We want our friends, and we're interested in what they're doing. I don't think it's any coincidence that three times Abraham is called the friend of God, and now they're walking along on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah, something that's going to affect Abraham directly, and just out of the blue, without Abraham ever asking, God says, should I keep from him what I'm going to do? You know tonight that we need to be the kind of men, if we're going to have revival, if we're going to have a refreshing or re-energizing, that we need to have some courageous leadership. We need some men who will believe God and obey Him and put God first in their lives before career and before money and before anything else, and just say, we are going to obey God in this house so that God will not only be willing to reveal to me what's going on in the hearts of my children, but so that God would be eager to. Amen. Listen, so that I can look at my family and look at my children and my grandchildren, and God can say, Jeff Merrick, he is a friend of mine. Should I keep from him what I'm doing in his own household? Don't you think tonight that God is eager to reveal to us, fellas, what's going on? His working, what He's trying to do, how He's trying to work? We just got to be in a place. We need some men who have the courage to be a friend of God. Amen. By way of obedience and submission and humility and priority. So that God comes along and says, not only am I willing to tell you, if you'll ask, but I'm eager to tell you. Come on, you not ever have God tell you something without even asking? And I think if we'll put ourselves in a place, fellas, if we'll be courageous enough to live obediently and live in submission and put God first, I have no doubt that God will sometimes tell us when we don't have a clue what's going on, that God will step in and say, hey, I know that you don't know this, but you need to pay attention to this right here. And I know that you don't know this, but this is going on in their heart, and you need to be alert to this, as God steps in and just tells us what we need to know. We need some courageous leadership, some men who will put themselves in a place where God will be willing to tell them what's going on in their home, and then and tell us without asking when we need to know. I think God wants us to know those things. And so we need some courageous leadership of this type, those who God says, I'm willing to tell them, and only that, but God says, I'm eager to tell them. It takes courage and discipline to live the kind of life, to be the kind of man, husband, father, leader, who are so in tune with God that we can sense His direction and leadership as to what's going on inside our own home. Then thirdly, y'all stay with me? Thirdly, if we're going to have revival in our families, and then we need men and husbands and fathers and leaders who are known of God to be faithful. Look what it says in verse 19. What a statement. For I know Him. This should be clear to us that this is not God saying, oh yeah, Abraham, I know him. Obviously God knows who Abraham was. It doesn't matter whether you're courageous or a coward for God. God knows who you are. And so God knew who Abraham was. This wasn't a simple statement of acknowledgement or knowledge that God knew him. The Hebrew word that's used here means to know by way of careful observation. It means to know by way of experience. To know by way of seeing. Let me put it simply. God said, yeah, I've been watching Abraham. I've seen how he lives his life. I've observed his obedience. I've observed how he fears me. I observe how he believes me. And I've watched him live his life. I know him. Now, Abraham wasn't terribly far along with God, but God already knew Abraham at this point and knew a lot about Abraham. God said that he knew what Abraham would do in relationship to his family, because he had seen the courage and the faith by which he had lived his life thus far. And while God knew that Abraham was not a perfect man, he did know that Abraham could habitually be counted on to be courageous and faithful to God. Abraham had proven himself to be courageous and faithful in belief and faith and confidence and obedience. Even though, had he failed some? Sure. But habitually, God said, I know Abraham. I know what he will do in relationship to his family. Not because of the superior knowledge of God, which though is true, because of Abraham had proven himself. Listen, God saw him before he ever left Ur of the Chaldees in Genesis chapter 12. Do you really think that God just went into Ur of the Chaldees prior to Genesis 12 and just randomly drew some guy out of the crowd and said, I think I'll bless this guy? No, he must have drawn him out because he knew who he was, and there was something about Abraham before he ever left Ur that God saw something in. And then God speaks to him and says, I want you to just follow me. Well, where are we going? God, doesn't matter. You just follow me and believe me. Well, how long will it take to get there? Doesn't matter. Just follow me. What is my family going to think? What does it matter? Just follow me. And so Abraham steps out and follows him. And God sees that. And then in Genesis chapter 13, Abraham didn't choose as Lot did. He doesn't choose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. He chooses rather the blessings of God rather than the blessings of the world. In Genesis chapter 14, after the battle to go rescue Lot, after he chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, I remind you that Lot came back out, and Abraham came back from rescuing Lot, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah was there, and he promised to give Abraham great riches. You remember what Abraham said? I don't want your stuff. I do not want to be blessed of the world. I want to be blessed of God. And I will wait if that's necessary, no matter how long it takes. I want to be blessed of God. And I'm just going to wait and trust God and allow God to bless me rather than the world to bless me. And he said, no, thank you. And God saw that. Oh, come on, you listening? God saw that. Genesis chapter 17, he obeyed God by circumcising all in his house as a manifestation, as a sign of his confidence in the covenant, the promises that God had made to him. Now, that's believing God. And God saw that. God knew him so well by observation that he promised to do all that he said he would do in the life of Abraham and fulfill all the promises in this man's family. Look what he says in verse 19. It says in verse 19, and it says, to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken in him. He says, I know him, and I know his courage and his faithfulness and his obedience, and he's the kind of man upon which I'm going to be able to bring all the promises that I have made in relationship to his family. He says, I know him. I know Abraham. If we're going to have revival in our families, if we need men with the courage to live a life that demonstrates a proven track record with God. Can I say that again? If we're going to know our families, if we're going to know what's going on inside our own homes, if we're going to be blessed, if we're going to have revival, then we need men who have the courage to live the kind of life to which God is willing to reveal what's going on inside his own home, who God is eager to reveal what's going on in his own home, and who has a proven track record so that God can say, I know what that man will do. Because he has proven himself in faithfulness and obedience. Amen? Amen? Wouldn't it be good if God could look at you men and say, I know. I know what Jed Plymester will do. I know what Sam Varghese will do. They have a proven track record of faithfulness and obedience unto me. And I know that I'm going to be able to bless his family. Just as I said that I would. He needed, God said, I know him. I know the kind of man he is. We need men who have a strong, consistent walk with God. Men, a man who is steady, constant, not on again or off again, but always faithful despite his circumstances. And we'll never have revival in our homes unless we have men who are consistent in their walk with God, consistent in their obedience to God, consistent in the direction that they're taking their life, so that no matter what else is going on in their life, no matter what's going on in their career, no matter what's going on in any other place in their life, they've established that we are going to be faithful to him. And God says, that's the kind of man whose family I can bless. Amen, you with me? If we're going to have revival, then that's the kind of leadership that we need. Now notice that God points out one particular area in which God knew that Abraham would be consistent. It says in verse chapter 18, verse 19, for I know him. I think God knew him in a general sense, but then he also mentions one particular area in which he had confidence in Abraham. And that confidence lay in this area, that he will command his children and his household after him. Would to God tonight it could be said of all of us as men that we had the courage to live the kind of life that God knows that we will command our children and our household appropriately. The word command, as it's used in this verse, contains the idea of to give orders. We like that as men. Oh, come on. We like that as men. It's one of the great things of being head of home. You can give orders. And it contains the idea of giving orders, but that's by no means the real meaning of the word. The true meaning of the word means to set in order. It means the idea of giving order. Hey, it means the idea of to be the head of the home. Do we give orders? Sure. But we give them in order to set structure, to give instruction, to give order to the home. He says, I know Abraham, that he will give order to his home, that he will give instruction to his home, that he will give leadership to his home, but not just to his home, but also to his household. Now, if home is his kids and his family, what's his household? Well, his household is that over which God has given him stewardship. If you're a man tonight, God's given you stewardship over your family, but he's given you stewardship over other things, because a man is above all else a steward of the responsibilities that God has given him. And so he says, I know that Abraham will set in order his home and that he will conduct his affairs over which God has given him a stewardship. He will conduct it orderly, that he will give instruction and order and direction and leadership. I know this about him, that he will do this. God said, I know that Abraham's heart was to order and to instruct and to lead, to be an example to his children and also to his household and all those over which God had given him a stewardship. And if we're going to have revival, fellas, in our homes tonight, we need men who have the courage to order their homes, to set things in order in their home, to establish order in their home. Come on, to be an example. Oh, no, to be an instructor in the things of God. He says, I know that Abraham will be an instructor, an establisher of order in his own home. And can I say this tonight? You may not be a dad yet. You may not be a husband yet. You may be a single man or a single young man. But these things are just as important for you, because this is what being a man is. Having the courage to do these things. If we're going to have revival, we have to have homes where we need men who have the courage to order their homes, to be examples, instructors to those who are under their leadership and under their stewardship and under their care. We have to have the courage to say, it's my job to set the order in the lives of my children. It's my job to be an instructor to them of the things of God. It's my responsibility as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a leader to say, hey, this is the way. Walk this way and establish order and instruction. Can it be said of us tonight, men, that God sit in heaven tonight and say, I know him and I know his heart. In his home, there's order. He is an instructor of his children. He is an example of godliness and leadership to them, to his wife, and to his household. We're not going to have revival until that's true. Amen? God says, I know him. Does God know that of you tonight? Is God revealing to you what he's doing in your family? Is he eager to do so? Does he say, I know him? He's got a proven track record of faithfulness and obedience and dedication and service. And one thing I know about him for sure is that he is an instructor of righteousness to his family and to his children, and that he is establishing order in his home based on what I'm revealing to him about his own home. He said that of Abraham. You say, well, preacher, I'm not perfect. Well, hey, neither was he. But then notice that God mentioned three areas in particular in which he was giving order. Are you still with me? Amen. He says, one thing I know about Abraham is he will give order, instruction. And then he tells us three areas in which he mentions Abraham specifically bringing order to his home, giving instruction to his children. If we're going to have revival, come on, you listening? We got to pay attention if we're going to have revival to these things. So notice what he says. He says, I know Abraham. One of the three things I know about him is he's going to bring order and give order. And he tells us exactly what he had in mind. He says in verse 19 that God knew that Abraham would order his children, in verse 19, in keeping the way of the Lord. It says in verse 19, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Now, the way of the Lord certainly would include the word of God. But it would include more than that, wouldn't it? The word way would certainly give us the implication that he's referring to more than just the word of God. But he's referring to the life that we should lead. He's referring to a life under the word of God, under the principles of God, and the precepts of God, and the commandments of God. He's talking about godliness. He says, I know that he will instruct his children in godliness, and he will instruct them in order and instruct them what it means to be godly and to live a godly life in obedience to God's word. And notice the other word that he uses in that verse, the word keep. He says, I know that he will order and instruct, be an example to them of keeping the way of the Lord. The word keep in that verse is an interesting word. It means to fence in. If you want to keep something, what do? Well, you fence it in. And he says, I know that he will order his children in such a way and instruct them in fencing in their life with the commandments of God and the precepts of God and the word of God. He'll train them to live in the boundaries. Moreover, he will set the order. He will be the example of living in the boundaries. He will be the example of living in the fence. He will instruct his children in the way of the Lord, and he will live it before them, so that they might see what a life in the boundaries looks like. God said, this I know. Fellas, does he know that about us? Are we instructors of order in our home? To our wives, say amen. Because they also are under our stewardship. And to our children. He says, I know that he will instruct them and teach them in the ways of the Lord. God said, one thing I know about Abraham as a man, as a husband, a father, he will have the courage to take the leadership in his home and to instruct those whom he leads to fence in their lives with the words of God and the principles of God and the precepts of God. And that Abraham would be an example to his children, to his household, of a man with the courage to live a life inside the fences, with the courage to live a life inside the boundaries of godliness. He says, I know that's the kind of man that he will be. If we're going to have revival in our families, we need men who are living examples. Oh, come on, listen up. We need men who are living examples. Men with the courage to order their life and before those whom they love, and to order their life in such a way that they demonstrate to those whom they love how to live their life inside the fences as God is revealing to us what they need. Because each of them needs something different. He says, this is what it's going to take. It's the man who has the courage to say, son, daughter, this is what an orderly life as a man of God looks like. This is what an orderly life lived within the boundaries of God's word looks like. We need to instruct them and they need to see it. Amen? They need to see it in the way mom and dad relate to one another. They need to see it in how mom and dad deal with conflict. They need to see it in how mom and dad live their lives and their love for one another and their love for God. If we're going to have revival, we need men with the courage to say, this is what godliness looks like. Now, kids, listen, that ain't going to be perfect. But, man, we need to strive to be an example. The second thing that God said he knew about Abraham, he says that he knew that Abraham would order his children, establish his home in such a way that they would understand the value of justice. He says in verse 9, for I know him, he will command his children and his household after him, and he will order their home in such a way that they will understand the necessity of living in the boundaries to keep the way of the Lord and to do justice. The word justice in the context of this verse means that which is just, makes sense, and that which is right, that which is legally right, that which is ethically right, that which is morally right. God said that he would be able to fulfill the promises that he made to Abraham concerning Abraham's family, because one thing that he knew about Abraham was that he was habitually ordering his home in such a way that the children understood what a life lived inside the boundaries looks like. And then secondly, a life that extolled justice. Where Abraham would have the courage to live a life in such a way that it demonstrated that which was legally right and ethically right and morally right. Where they understood that God, that dad does right. No matter what. He keeps his word. He pays his bills. He treats his wife ethically right and legally right and morally right. He conducts his life in such a way that they see a life lived inside the boundary as one that's lived in justice. He says, I know Abraham will order his life this way. Now, did Abraham fail at that from time to time? Big time from time to time. But God says, I know that habitually this is the way he does his life. And I think it was always in the heart of Abraham, even when he failed. He would be an example of godliness and holiness. If we're going to have revival, we need men and husbands and fathers and leaders who will set the standard in their home, who will order their home in such a way that justice is always extolled, where dad always strives to do that which is right, that which is ethically right and morally right and spiritually right. Not just establishing a standard in the home, but living it. Not just saying, you kids have this standard. No, living it. Before them. If we're going to have revival in our home, we're going to have the courage, fellas, men, leaders, husbands, fathers, to be known of God, to be the kind of man that's known for fencing in his family with the Word of God and demonstrating to them what it looks like to live a life inside the Word of God, inside the precepts of God and the principles of God, to live justice, to live justly before them, morally right, ethically right, legally right. They should see us in our daily function, how we do things. That God does the right thing. He doesn't cut the corners. He doesn't shave the truth. He doesn't cheat. Amen? He does that which is right. He doesn't cheat morally. He signed the leadership standard. He lives it. He knows what the church preaches and where the church stands, and he lives it. Even when no one else is around, even inside the walls of our home, he lives it. Because it's right. It's the right thing to do. Thirdly, lastly, we notice that God knew one other thing about Abraham. Thirdly, he says that he knew of Abraham that he had the courage to order his home in judgment. He says in verse 19, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep his way, keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and to do judgment. If we're going to have revival in our homes, we need men who have the courage to order their home in judgment, as Abraham did. The word basically means discernment. He says, I know that Abraham, oh listen, this is so important. He says, I know that Abraham will order his home in such a way and instruct his wife and his children in such a way and establish order in his home in such a way that his family learns discernment. Because we don't want our kids just to learn right and wrong. We want them to have discernment. To be able to see things and make judgments for themselves. And to do that, they need to see dad making smart spiritual decisions. Living smart spiritual decisions. Dad always chooses what's best spiritually before all other things. God, dad's first concern is not how much money is it. Dad's first concern is not, is it the job that I want? Dad's first concern is not, is it good for me? Is it promotion good for me? But is it good for my family spiritually? Does dad demonstrate the discernment to know what's best spiritually above all other things? So that mom and dad and the wife, the mom and the kids can say, I know dad. He's going to do what's right spiritually. Listen, fellas, our wives know. They have confidence that we are going to do what's best first for them and God above all other things. Because that's where our children learn it from. That's where our young men learn from. And when they see how we handle such things. You want to know how they learn how to treat their wife? By how you treat yours. You want to know how they're going to learn to respond to God? By how they watch us. Now, I know they have to make their own decisions. I get all that. But Abraham, God says, I know that he will order his home. He will instruct his family, his children. And I know that he'll instruct them in keeping the ways of the Lord and fencing themselves in with the word of God. And I know that they will that he will demonstrate justice before them. He always does what's right. Wouldn't it be good if when you're dead, your kids go to plant you in the ground, they can say, this much I know about Dad. He always did that which was right. He always did that which pleased God first. And he was a man of discernment and justice. Wouldn't that be a great testimony? I could care less if they could say, Dad always give us the best of everything. Dad always provided for us. Dad always met our needs. Well, those are good things. You know, the best thing they could say is Dad was a man who had the courage to live his life in such a way that it seemed like he always knew what was going on in our heart. Did you hear what I just said? Wouldn't it be good if our kids could say, Dad lived his life in such a way, he was so close to God, that it seemed as if he knew what was in our heart before we knew what was in our heart. And about the time I was thinking nobody understood me, seemed like Dad did. Because God is willing to give such a man an understanding of what's going on in the walls of his own house. And he's eager to do it. And we need to be the kind of men, fellas, that have a proven track record of faithfulness unto God. So that God can come along and say, I know him. And one thing I know about him is that he isn't perfect, but that it is in his heart to order his home in such a way that he is an example to his children of living inside the boundaries of God's precepts and principles, an example of godliness, that he is an example of justice. Dad always does the right thing. And that he is an example not only of justice, but also an example of discernment and judgment. Dad just always seemed to know what to do. He just always seemed to understand things. When I would go to him with problems, he just always seemed to understand the spiritual twist to it. He just seemed to get it. That's because your dad's a genius. No, it's because a dad like that gets his wisdom from who? From God in time with him. And if we're going to have revival in our homes, or re-energizing, refocusing, or refreshing, then we need this kind of leadership. Come on, do you agree with me? Amen. We need this kind of leadership. And we will never have all the promises that God made to Abraham. Because we're not Israel. And so we'll never have all those promises. But look at verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And then he says at the end of verse 19, he says, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to him. We can't have the promises of Abraham. I think we can have the spirit of those promises. Don't you think, fellas, that if we'd have the courage to live that kind of life, to stay so close to God, that God tells us what's in the heart of our own children, that God shows us what's going on in the heart of our own wife, that God reveals to us what's going on inside the walls of our own home, so that we can order it and instruct them in justice and in judgment and in keeping in the framework of God's word. Do you not think if we do that, that we might be able to reap the spirit of the promises of God, that God might do to us as he says in his word he's willing to do, that God might bless our home and make us fruitful? I think if we had that kind of leadership, we just might experience some of that. Anyone can have a child, but it takes courage to be a godly man. It takes courage to be a godly husband, a father, a leader over those whom God has given us a stewardship. The courage to be spiritually the kind of man to whom God is willing to reveal what he's doing in the heart of those we lead. The courage to be spiritually the kind of man to whom God is not only willing, but eager to reveal to us what's going on in the heart of those who we lead. The courage to be spiritually the kind of man to whom God has confidence in, having seen how we've lived our lives thus far. The courage to be spiritually the kind of man that God knows we will order our home in keeping the way of the Lord, in living justly and in discernment. And it might just be that God would bless our homes afresh and anew if we could muster that kind of courage. If we could stop getting caught up in the drama of the moment. If we could just not be so focused on what's going on at work. If we could pay a little more attention to our family than our career. If we could just stay focused on what God's doing, instead of panicking over everything that's going on. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I don't know how we're going to do that. Maybe we just need to get alone with God and say, God, I want to be like Abraham. I need to know. Listen, fellas, there's one knowledge beyond salvation that you need more than any other. You need to know what's going on in the walls of your own house. I'm not talking about where they are at 2 a.m, though that would be good. I'm talking about what's going on in their heart. You know, I know that they have our own will. I get all that. Take this in the context of what we're talking about. But I think that we can know what they're thinking. I think we can know what's going on with them. I think there are times when we need God to come along and say, you need to spend some time with that one. You hear me? I think there's times when God comes along and says, you need to spend some time with that woman. There's just some things going on that you don't see, but God says, I know. We need that kind of leadership. And then maybe we can muster some revival in our home, a refreshing, reviving. Let me ask you tonight, fellas, do you know what's going on in the heart of your kids? No. Do you know what's going on in the heart of each of your children? Do you know what's going on with your wife? Do you know what's going on in your home? Do you know what God's trying to do with your kids? Do you have any idea if God is speaking to one of your children about something? Do you have any idea if they're under conviction about something? Do you have any idea where they are? Well, you say, well, preacher, I can't know that. Exactly. We have to have the courageous leadership to live the kind of life that God is willing to reveal it to us. Amen? Abraham wasn't perfect, but God says, this is courageous leadership. Why don't you stand with me if you would?